Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar. It's a special episode of this podcast as we are in Firkin Bar in Toronto, meeting after 4 months. The crew is here and we have...
Hey, Cheesy here.
You know?
And Chaba.
And Chaba. Chaba is looking fresh with some Gap shorts. Are they? Are they Gap? Nice.
Are we sponsored by Gap, by the way?
We are not sponsored by Gap, but if somebody from Gap is listening, we welcome their sponsorships. Cheesy, I believe, is on his... What beer is that?
It's not beer. It's cider, but that's okay. And I think it's my third.
Well, sure, it looks like beer. I mean, you can't doubt a man for thinking that's beer from this distance. What kind of cider is it?
I guess it's Strongbow Cider. And by the way, we do accept sponsorships from cider companies as well.
Do you have a particular taste when it comes to cider? Is it apple? What kind of ciders are there?
Well, you know, I don't know. This is the first time that I've actually ordered cider at a bar. And I decided to order it because I wanted something a little bit lighter.
Finish off with Chaba. Chaba, what you're the only one who's hammering home the wine here.
Yeah, I just came back from a white tasting tour and from Niagara on the Lake, and I felt that I just want to continue with wine. That's all.
What are you drinking there?
It's a Sauvignon Blanc. It's a pretty nice one.
Okay, and I am, for the record, drinking a vodka soda. I believe it's the house vodka. What's the vodka in here? It's Smirnoff, so it's definitely the cheapest vodka that they had, and I'm fine with that because I don't have any taste really. I guess we should get on to business. We talked about remote coaching, we talked about experimentation, technical debt, kind of ended up on mobbing. What is mobbing, and what first drew you to it? What's so great about it, man? Like, what's the hype?
What's the hype? Actually, I'm going to go back. I would do a shout out to somebody in the university I worked with, because at the time when we were doing these group assignments, we realized that if we do these together, so I'm going back like 20 odd years, the learning was crazy. And at the time, especially, we didn't have internet, we didn't have, sometimes didn't even have books. So going back all the way there, the learning was absolutely insane, how we were able to learn, even like learning shortcuts from each other, learning like super, super simple things sometimes, like how we write code, how we, like these kind of super basic stuff. But as I was advancing in my career and ended up coaching, I realized that that's probably the best tool to help a team to learn and to just... I think learning is the most important aspect. But
what do you think of the counter argument to mobbing, which is often that, hey man, that's slower. Like, I could do this actually faster on my own. Like, what's so... Why should I do something which is like clearly slower for me?
When you're talking about mobbing, you got to make sure that you focus on what you want to achieve. And I totally agree with Chaba that one of the big benefits of mobbing is that you can learn a lot faster. You can align with your team an awful lot faster. You're all getting into the same mindset. You're solving the problems in a similar way. You are talking about them. You learn a certain language to express certain problems, to express solutions as well in code to your team members. The fact that you are at that moment slower, that is not necessarily a problem because you're focusing on the learning at that time. If you would say, you know what, we have something really urgent to deliver, using mobbing then might not be the right approach. It really all depends. It's never a black and white answer. If you're saying, you know what, this is a really difficult topic, it touches almost everything in our application, we would benefit from a little bit of the knowledge that is in everyone's head, and it's critical as well so that we don't make any mistakes, then maybe this is still the best approach.
Cheesy, you're the CMO, Chief Mobbing Officer, for several companies. Why do you like this technique so much, and why does it stand out from you from other techniques like pairing and so on?
In many ways, mobbing is like the great equalizer in that, you know, it brings everything to the surface right away. So it's almost like nothing's hidden, right? And so I just have a lot of cases where we have pockets of knowledge, or we have also pockets of protection. In other words, I want to build this wall around what I'm doing. I don't want anybody really to see it or participate in it. And whenever you mob, those things tend to go away. the knowledge tends to rapidly disseminate throughout the team. You know, of course, this is very contextual, depending on how mature the team is and such. But also, it's a no bullshit environment. You know, whenever you're alone, whenever you're out, you can make shit up, you can bullshit, you know, and whenever you're mobbing, everything is raw, everything is exposed. And I've just seen a lot of cases where that causes a team to sort of humble themselves, and it causes a team to step back and be honest about maybe some weaknesses that they have and really have this opportunity to focus on those. It also, so the whole idea that it causes a team to go slower as well, I'm not sure I agree with that in every context. There are some cases where you have a team where there are a lot of different skill sets, capabilities, maturity. In cases like that, it probably does slow you down because mobbing tends to bring out more of a mentorship mindset. And so there, you feel almost a little bit obligated to help bring up some of the less experienced or seasoned people. But a team that's performing very well, you know, I have found many cases where they become actually even more high performing by bringing all those people together.
In working with teams, I have noticed that not everyone has the same understanding of what it really is. Sometimes people think that it's sitting with 5-6 people around the same keyboard and there's only one conversation happening. Mobbing really is driving one particular conversation where 2 or 3 people are doing research in the background that otherwise would slow the development down, right? So if your main pair, your navigator and your driver are actually spitting out the code and they hit a roadblock, there is somebody else who can take on the resolution of that particular roadblock, and it actually speeds up the process.
So if you're a coach and you're introducing this technique to new teams, I certainly feel it's the team members are very vulnerable in this situation. It's the first time what they're doing is being exposed to the whole team. Do you see the psychological safety issues that come with this technique? And as a coach who's working with this team, how do you introduce this thing before you actually dive into the activity? Like, what are some of the key points you have to hit before you actually go and go, let's mob?
For me, I usually don't have problems with the senior junior people on the team. What I find very often is senior people on the team that are maybe worried about their skills. And so the junior people that I typically work with, most of the teams I work with are usually stacked with more junior type people. And I rarely find an issue there around psychological safety. I think often they come to the table kind of knowing that they are junior and for the most part, in general, anxious to learn or to grow, right? It's more the senior person. I'm thinking of a person that I had a conversation with very recently in the last couple of days who had over 25 years at a company, and they were very unsure of their skills, right? Largely because they've had to retool a couple of times. Maybe they started in a different language or whatever it might be. And so back to your point, I think psychological safety is really, really critical. And so one thing that I would highly recommend is that we create, you know, sort of some ground rules before we start something like this. Ground rules around ensuring that everybody's voice is heard. Ground rules around how are we going to actually do the mobbing itself. How, you know, even around ensuring that everybody speaks up and that everybody gets a chance to express their opinion. And even after doing that, it'll be a little rough for maybe even a day or 2 or 3, you know, until the team realizes that it is a safe place for them to actually make mistakes. It is a safe place for them to say, I don't know. You might think that I have the answers, but I don't have the answers.
Because sometimes senior people, they just don't have the patience because they just want to get shit done, which is a very, very, very valid reason. But they totally underestimate sometimes the necessity to that, how important it is for the entire team.
Well, getting stuff done is one reason. The other reason might be they have most to lose, right? So they currently have a status within the team just because they're a senior. If they would open up their code, they might feel like well, maybe my code is not as good as I thought it was, right? Maybe other people are going to judge it. Maybe I made some mistakes. Maybe I would do things differently, and it's kind of difficult to share it with someone else.
But the beautiful thing about mobbing is that it's not my code, it's our code. You know, if we do it right, it's not one person dictating, right? It's everybody collaborating, and so that's how you can bring a little bit of the safety.
I 100% agree, but it doesn't take away that those people might still feel threatened in their role, threatened in their authority, and so forth, right? One of the things that I find helps with mobbing, as opposed to just pairing with two people, is the fact that when you have more than two, there's always somebody else who has to learn as well. There's always somebody else that knows a little bit less than you, and there typically is somebody else who knows a little bit more than you as well. So it kind of, as you said earlier on, Cheesy, it kind of levels out, right? You, everyone is on the same page. It's a lot faster to get trust. Even as somebody who is senior, you might intentionally step a little bit back and try to provide some answers when other people have questions.
You learn a lot about tooling, because everybody uses different tools to do sometimes the same thing. And as much as it is about the software that you are writing and, you know, the your design of your software and all that, sometimes you learn so many cool... Like the other day, I was with somebody and they hit double shift in IntelliJ, which I had no idea was file search. Because I always did command N for classes and command shift N for files, and shift shift does both. So, and I can tell you probably like just three or four recent examples of this. But you mentioned something interesting, Cheesy. You were like, when mobbing done right, where does it go wrong?
I've seen it go wrong for several reasons. One of the main reasons is somebody gets a hold of the keyboard and then runs a whole show. They think that they're going to solve the solutions. They're there to teach everybody. And they don't realize that the person on the keyboard is basically the nut behind the keyboard. They're supposed to only type. So that's probably the biggest anti-pattern that I've seen. The second anti-pattern that I've seen a lot is where you have maybe a navigator, but who constantly dominates the conversation. Or anytime somebody comes up with an idea or presents an idea, they'll be quick to criticize it or to say, you know, well, no, that doesn't work, or you know, and again, that often comes through somebody who thinks that they're senior and they haven't quite let go to the idea that we're going to do this as a team, and that I want to get everybody's opinion and everybody's thought on the table. So those are kind of the ideas or the ways that I've seen it done wrong. The way where I've seen it right is where the guy or the person, sorry, on the keyboard is only typing what the team is working on, and the team is discussing, and they're having conversations. Back to what Hino said earlier, you may have a situation where the team has decided, well, there's something we need to do, and they're thinking like one step ahead. Somebody may go out and do a quick Google search to figure something out, or they're actually going back and forth with different ideas around how they might solve it, and they're trying to build consensus within the team, while at the same time keeping the person on the keyboard continuously moving forward.
And actually, I wanted to bring in another aspect into mobbing is the presence of the product owner or the presence of folks who are not necessarily developers in mobbing. I had actually an amazing experience at one of my clients where we actually asked the product owner to participate in mobbing, and she actually was at the keyboard and actually working on the keyboard. And I remember exactly the problem we were trying to solve. We're trying to solve a situation where a click was like almost like a double click or something like that. It was something like kind of a glitch on the UI. And we were working on the problem for about half an hour. And once the product we were done, the product owner had this aha moment. It's like, oh my God, guys, I didn't realize that such a small thing could be such a big, it could lead to such a big challenges and such a big problem. And actually the solution came from multiple people, from multiple ideas. Everybody's suggesting, trying their various things. And it was like a poster child of maybe individually, neither of them would be able to solve it, maybe for days. There was such a fringe kind of situation in that code base. And so the only reason I want to bring up the presence of the product owner, it's not an easy thing to bring in, like somebody who is not a developer, but the benefits could be amazing.
And I can totally see benefits in designers participating in a mobbing session, in business analysts participating in a mobbing session, in testers, if you have that role in your teams, participating in a mobbing session. I can see the value of that, but I've never had the luxury of participating in a mobbing session like that.
Did your product owner grab the keyboard and type in the code?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So we did the
true rotation, and we said it's okay. Don't worry, it's gonna be fine. And then we did like I think 8 minute rotations because we were all in the room. This was pre-COVID. It was a good learning for her to understand what happens in these situations.
But I kind of want to hear from you what your suggestions are and techniques are to get a mobbing session on track if it tends to be one of those bad ones.
I tend to be a little blunt in circumstances like that, and that. So for me, one of the ideas is at the end of a rotation, we commit and push the code, right? And so one of the things that I often do whenever that happens, if I've seen that things have not gone well, is I'll go around and ask everybody. So does the code that we're pushing reflect your ideas? Does the code that we're pushing, does that feel like what you would have written, you know? And if somebody who hasn't spoken up or hasn't participated says, oh, yeah, that reflects what I did, then I might actually ask them, well, okay, why didn't we hear that from you? So I'll try to pull it out a little bit. And maybe that's being a little forceful or a little forward, but I tend to work that way. Yeah, I tend to work that way. And the person maybe who tried to dominate, whenever it comes to them, I might ask them, do you think this reflects what the others on the team would have done? And if they say, oh, of course, I would say, well, how would you know? You know, so again, I would push the buttons just a little bit. And you might think of that as like a little mini, tiny little retrospective while we're committing and pushing the code before we take a little break, before we start the next rotation.
I think there are multiple retrospectives that can happen within an hour mobbing session, because on every rotation, if you are honest with each other on what could have been better, the person who was driving at the time can walk away knowing very explicitly what they need to improve upon, or the navigator needs to know explicitly what they need to improve upon. And the value of that really can't be overstated. You know, we have like 6 month yearly reviews. What are your goals? You fill out all these documents. I find mobbing, when done right, with that caveat that Cheesy mentioned earlier, to be like a performance reviews in 1 hour, right? And with immediate feedback, which you can action right away. How has mobbing changed in a remote environment?
When you are mobbing and one or two people are remote and the rest is all in the same space, that is an incredibly difficult situation. It's an incredibly difficult situation to get everyone aligned, to get the conversation flowing, and to basically include the people who are remote. But in a remote environment in which everyone is remote and everyone is online, that really worked quite well. There's a variety of channels that you can use to have back conversations that might be valuable without interrupting the main stream of or the main flow of thinking in the mobbing sessions, and still get that value that you elaborate on in a separate channel back to the stream whenever it's ready. It doesn't seem to be an issue whatsoever. I find there's kind of two ways in which mobbing can really work, and that is everyone is in the same place or everyone is remote. But something in the middle seems to be challenging to include everyone.
Before, it was enough if one of the developers' machines was fully set up, everything is good to go because you just rotate in the front of a machine. But being everyone remote, everyone's environment has to be like up to date, properly set up, because as soon as you rotate, everybody has to check out that code, run the test right away. Otherwise, it's going to slow you down. So that actually removes the possibility to involve other than just developers in the moment when you are remote.
You know, I took the opportunity to, it was a new team, brand new team. First time entirely set up remotely. And we usually have a team norm session, right, where we discuss on what the team norms for the team should be. And I had never done this before, so I said, you know, why not? Let's not create team norms, but let's go into the mobbing session. If you go into a mobbing session without any norms, you can actually use that session to create the norms. Because sometimes if you have a norming session or team norm session before you're in a separate room, you say all kinds of things you don't really mean. But then when you're actually in the weeds and you're experiencing it, you're like, yeah, it should probably be a norm where our method should be whatever criteria you want to do it. So I think as a coach, you can use that to actually instill norms within the team.
Yeah. Well, and the norms become based in reality as opposed to based in some happy fill all meeting that you're having where everyone's going to go back and completely ignore half the shit you said anyway, right? I like that approach.
Gino is on his 367th type of beer in his app. What's the app you use?
No, you're way, he, you're way
well
under my stats.
Well under 1,000.
You're way under my stats.
Let's round this off with what's going on with your beer
app? I'm approaching 1,500 unique beers in the last 5 years.
And Cheesy's on cider number one.
Well, what did they say that every journey starts with a single step or the first step? So,
did you enjoy the cider?
I did. Yeah.
There is a wonderful cider bar on Harvard Street. I think it's called Your Mother's Cider Bar or something like that, and it only serves cider. Very colorful place. I've been there once. Really enjoyed it.
There is a place called the Ale Yards, really close to where I live, that has three distinct breweries that provide completely different experience of beer. That might be an interesting place to hold this next podcast.
It's called Her Father's Cider Bar Plus Kitchen.
Not Mother's. See, there you go.
There you go. So maybe that's where the next podcast will be. But one thing we know for sure is that this episode of the Continuous Delivery Podcast has concluded. We'll see you guys again soon. Goodbye.